This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tess Vigeland. Time in the show to hear from you, dear listener. And with me to help do that is our dear senior producer, Patty Hirsch.
Hello, Tess.
Do we have a full mailbag this week?
Oh, we've always got a full mailbag on Marketplace Money. Always.
Excellent. And everybody loves us.
Everybody loves us.
Okay.
Not everybody's so keen on Peter Morici, though.
Yes, our commentary from last week about the subject we have covered quite thoroughly here, student loans.
Yeah, so he addressed a number of issues in his commentary, including the tendency of many students to study liberal arts degrees that he implied might be less than useful in today's workplace. So we got a lot of mail about that.
I found that my liberal arts degree did quite well, thank you very much.
Well, it's done well for you, maybe, but Peter was making the point that it might not do well for people entering today's workplace where perhaps more practical skills might be more useful.
Yes, science, technology, et cetera.
So Lynn Slater wrote in to say that liberal arts is where students broaden their thinking skills and their creativity and hopefully their sense of ethics. And all of that, she says, has been sadly lacking in the graduates of B schools.
Ah.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Anything else that we can answer for listeners?
Yeah. We had some really interesting little scrappy questions, consumer advice type things.
Consumer advice.
Yeah. So, and Simon Jones of San Diego wrote in, he wanted to know if claims from subscriptions can show up on your credit report.
Oh, man. You know who I wish was here?
Who's that?
Our good friend David Lazarus.
David Lazarus. Yeah, but he's...
Oh,
David!
Oh, what's that movement in the trees? Oh.
I was just driving by. I heard the words deeply offensive on the show, and I figured you were talking about me.
We were indeed.
So I thought I better stop by.
Welcome to the program, David.
Thank you very much.
I do have to say that I was really, really sorry to see this week that that Brad Pitt got the contract over you for Chanel No. 5.
What a blow, right?
I could not believe
first
it.
First the Nobel Prize for Literature, and now this?
I know!
Where does it end, right?
What is that?
Okay.
Life is so unfair.
It was a little rough, I have to admit, and the fact that he got Chanel No. 5, and I'm being tentatively offered Tidy Bowl, I'm not necessarily happy about how it's breaking down, but, I'm going to rise above this.
Excellent. Well, you can rise above it by helping us answer this question.
Can do.
Do you get magazine subscriptions, David?
I do.
Yeah?
This is kind of a Sarah Palin question. So I'm going to be very careful
right
here.
It's not whether you read them or not. It's whether they come to your house.
I read all of them. All of them. But yeah, I think a lot of people do.
Okay. So we have Simon Jones, running from San Diego. He wants to know if claims from those subscriptions can actually show up on your credit report at any time.
In other words, if you're not paying your bill.
Right.
They can. Now, typically, if you're not paying any sort of subscription or dues, the response from the dues receiver is to drop you.
Okay.
And basically a subscription or dues are for services rendered in real time, mm-hmm. basically. And so you're not going to really accrue that much of a debt. But if for any reason you have accrued a debt, then indeed they can come after you. Probably they won't. They're just going to say, well, that's a fine. How do you do? And then 2 weeks later, you'll be getting new solicitations saying, please come back.
Okay, here's another quick hit for you. Christopher Angel, also from San Diego, he wanted to know if he can consolidate his and his wife's credit cards, the ones that they had before they were married, without impacting their credit score.
So same card issuer, they're both carrying balances. Right. Can we put it all on one plastic? That's the question.
Exactly, without affecting the credit score.
And I would say almost certainly no. Almost certainly this move will involve your credit score in one way or another because one of the cards is now going to take on more debt.
More debt. Mm-hmm.
That's a factor. Also, anytime you close down a card, even though it seems counterintuitive, that too can impact your credit score, albeit only on a temporary basis, because creditors look at that and they think, what's going on? Something a little funny here. And you're going to see some minor movement. I would think, though, that it's a smart play, consolidating onto one card. It simplifies, and since they're a couple, and since it's the same issuer, not a bad move. Figure it will take them maybe 3 months, 4 months, 5 months to bring the credit score back from any possible movement.
Right.
I'm always a big fan of simplification when
so
it comes
to
finance.
Go ahead and close it down.
I would do that, yeah. And right. I think the simpler you make your financial horizon, the better, because it's easier to understand.
Boy, I'm glad he came in.
Me too. I'm glad he busted down the door.
You should say deeply offensive more often because I all over the city I respond to these words.
You'll be here in just a second. All right, what else do we have, Patty?
So a while back on the show, David was talking about getting data from lenders in order to find out how much you really owe, you know, when your loan has been sold onto somebody else. And you said that, you know, you need to email the lenders or call the lenders and get all that data from them. Shannon Snyder did exactly this. She followed your advice. She's a school teacher from New York, and she has a follow-up question about that. Shannon, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Shannon, tell us exactly what your situation is. What happened?
Okay, here's the situation. While I was in graduate school, in the late 1980s and early 1990s, I took out about $40,000 in student loans through a local bank,
okay,
which has since changed hands multiple times. Like, it's had three or four different names. And I think the loans should be already paid off by now, but I called the company and they say I still owe $22,000.
Hi.
And why do you think the loan should be paid off by now?
Well, I refinanced them in 1999,
mm-hmm,
with a 10-year kind of payoff period.
In other words, as of 2009, you should have been free and clear. That's what you're figuring.
Right. But I had it set up through automatic withdrawal through my bank account. And because it was automatic, I just sort of forgot about it until I heard the show. I thought, oh, these should be paid off by now. So I went to look into it, and the company has a different idea.
But did you end up calling the company to find out what was wrong?
Yeah, I called them, and I also called the New York State, the Higher Education Services Corporation,
mm-hmm,
because when I stopped paying the company, I got reported. And they just say, nope, you owe $22,000. And according to their records, maybe that's the case, because they only really have the records from 2004.
Have you asked them to furnish you any of the original documents that they have?
Yeah, I asked them for the original promissory notes, which they had.
And did that include, like, the payment history of the loan and all that sort of thing?
No payment history from 1999 when I refinanced until 2004.
So have you called them since you got all this paperwork to say, where's the rest of it or what happened here?
No, I haven't. I was waiting for some divine intervention.
Oh!
And here I am.
Here he is.
Yeah, there you are, David.
Yeah, obviously someone has their wires crossed here, and uh-huh, it either stems from the 1999 refi of the student
uh-huh
loan or the 2004 acquisition of the thing from the thing, to use the financial terms. And you know, someone at some point didn't press the button that does the thing for the thing. And so it sounds to me, Shannon, like you haven't done anything wrong except not being on top of the situation. And I do want
right
to emphasize to you and to everyone else, you can't take things for granted. This is really
yeah
important. If you don't watch out for yourself in today's eel-infested financial world, no one will do it for you. Now, in this case, I would say that the lender or whoever holds your loan at any particular moment has a fiduciary duty to maintain adequate records.
Yep.
The onus is on the lender and not on you to be able to prove the situation. And so if the lender is unable to cough up that documentation, it doesn't mean necessarily that you just have to trust whatever the lender says. Moreover, you would have pretty good grounds for a lawsuit at that point.
Oh, okay.
If you wanted to go back and say, no, prove that I owe this much, because my understanding is, and my records show, that this should have been paid off by 2009. The onus
okay
is on the lender to prove otherwise at that point.
But what if the next step is for the lender just to send an intimidating letter to Shannon saying, hey, We're coming after you with collectors, et cetera. So, I mean, you know how
that probably will be the next step.
And they
right
just
yeah
might. And then she ups the ante with a letter from a lawyer.
Right.
And you don't need to retain one full time. You can just simply go to a lawyer and pay to have a letter written. And I advise this to people all the time when they get into problems with big corporations. How do you deal with it? It's worth spending the $200, $300, $400 that it might take of a lawyer's time to just simply write something on letterhead with that threatening lawyerly tone about it that
right
sort of makes it clear to the corporation that you're not someone to be trifled with. And what you've also accomplished there is to enhance the paper trail in your favor.
I had a little interesting aside. Along with my records, when I requested them, the company also sent me 4 pages of someone else's personal documents, including
what
everything about her. her social security number, where she was born, oh, where she went to school, her mother's maiden name.
I'm not thinking a lot of this lender at the moment.
No.
And I would think that that case you were just building for negligence on the lender's part, you just made it a whole lot stronger suddenly.
Okay, well, that's good. I called her up and I told her that I was not planning to steal her identity and move to the South Pacific.
She must have been thrilled to hear from you.
She sounded kind of perplexed.
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, I would hang on to those documents, or at least a copy of them.
Yeah, Patty's right. Do hang on to them, because if you did end up going to court, this is Exhibit A.
Yep.
That this lender doesn't have its act together.
Okay. Well, that's good news.
Does that help you out?
I think so, yeah.
Thanks for calling.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Thanks, David.
You betcha.
Thanks for coming in, Patty. And,
it's a pleasure, Tess.
We'll hope to hear from everyone again on Twitter and on Facebook and any other way you decide you'd like to communicate.